Welcome to Red Journal Radio Show. I'm Salita, and I would like to stimulate your mind and encourage you to step out of your comfort zone with news, information, stories that will inspire and motivate you. Again, welcome to the Red Journal Radio Show. Good evening, everyone. I'm hoping everyone has had a great past weekend. Today is Monday, and we've been dealing with a lot of rain and thunderstorms. And I noticed in Alabama, Texas, all over the place, we have been having some real bad weather. So I'm hoping you guys have been staying dry, enjoy the sun when it comes out, get out in it, and when it rains, stay out of it, be safe on your journeys back and forth to work or all your outdoor activities. We've here at home, we've been trying to just stay dry. It seems like no matter what we do, we can't stay dry. If I didn't say it, I want to welcome to Red Journal Radio. This is Salita, your host. I should have said that first. And again, I'm hoping you guys are having a great day. I'm hoping, you know, sometimes we dread Mondays, but actually Mondays are they can be good and they can be bad. Depends on how we look at it. Today, our conversation, our discussion is going to be what's in the journal for today is going to be alcoholism and how to cope with an alcoholic. And in our entrepreneur's corner is going to be how to become a real estate agent. So what I want to first do is, you know, we have to do our meditation. Our meditation is very much so needed each and every time we start the show. That is to open up the mind and the heart and the spirit. So for 1 minute, we are going to take this time out and get our meditation out the way.
Close your eyes. Listen to the rhythm of your heartbeat. As you listen, try to match the stage running each time you breathe in, wait 3 heartbeats, then slowly breathe out. Listen for the 3 heartbeats. Do this 3 times. Now feel the stress fall away from your body. As you try this exercise, imagine you hear the ocean in the distance. You hear the waves as they splash against the shore. The seagulls singing, the smell of salty air, and a small breeze that blows against your face.
All right, got that little meditation out the way. I'm going to have to extend that, give it a couple more minutes on it, the next one I do. But anyway, getting started with the show. Again, welcome to Red Journal Radio Show. And I want to, first off, before we get into our discussion tonight, I want you guys to understand that despite what's going on outside our world, I keep thinking about Baltimore and the issues that are dealing with, you know, what people are going through in Baltimore. I feel sorry for them. But again, you know, we can pray, we can bow our head, we can put our heads in the sand. It's going to take more than just prayer. It's going to take a lot of action. And it has to start at home. And I have to say that's not what Red Journal Radio Show is about. But I want to say that because there is an activism side to me. And I deal with that on a daily basis, but I wanted to let you guys know that we have to do more as a people. And it starts with us. Each and every situation that happens starts with us. But anyway, enough about that. So let's get started with alcoholism and how to cope with it, how to cope with an alcoholic. All right, let's talk about what is alcoholism. According to MayoClinic.org, alcoholism is a chronic and often progressive disease that includes problems controlling your drinking. being preoccupied with alcohol, continue the use of alcohol even when it causes problems, having to drink more to get the same effect, physical dependence, or having withdrawal symptoms when you rapidly decrease or stop drinking. If you have alcoholism, you can't consistently predict how much you'll drink, how long you'll drink, or what consequences will occur from your drinking. It is possible that a problem with alcohol, even when it's not progressed to the point of alcoholism, problem drinking means you drink too much at times, causing repeated problems in your life, although you're not completely dependent on alcohol. Wow. Binge drinking, which we talked about on the other end of the spectrum, is a pattern of drinking where a male consumes five or more drinks in a row, or a female downs at least four drinks in a row, can lead to the same health risks and social problems associated with alcoholism. The more you drink, the greater the risk. Binge drinking, which often occurs with teenagers and young adults, may lead to faster development of alcoholism. If you have alcoholism or you have a problem with alcohol, you may not be able to cut back or quit without help. Denying that you have a problem is usually the part of alcoholism and other types of excessive drinking. So, to say that we know the whole concept behind what alcoholism is and how to know that you're alcoholic is a whole other thing. And to once you have a problem, the first thing you need to do is admit that you have a problem, and then you can work on finding a solution to it. And sometimes we're in denial of our drinking habits. We're in denial of all the little things that we do that we don't think is bad for us. Sometimes medication, taking a lot of medication, even though it's supposed to help you in healing you, you still find yourself taking it for more than just that. That's just something we have to look at. Having an alcoholic in my family, having a stepfather who was alcoholic, he was the perfect man. He was the perfect father when he didn't drink. When he drank, he clowned. Clowned to the point where he got shot in the head one night. I don't know, he was out drinking with some guys or whatever. He got shot in the head, eventually passed away. He constantly had seizures from the idea that they could never remove the bullet. So they put a metal plate up there, but it always made him have seizures, so he eventually passed away from that. I know friends that were alcoholics. Now they're not, but they were then. So it can do a number on you. It really can. Learning how to deal with it and not being the one who drinks, and then you're on the outside because you don't know what that person is going through. And most of the time, they're not going to tell you the truth. Very seldom will they tell you the truth at what's going on. But you learn how to deal with them the best way you know how. And I'm not making that as an excuse. And you want to get them help because alcoholism can turn into something that's very dangerous and very hurtful to the family, to your friends, to society itself. If you think about drinking and driving, how many people have died from drinking and driving? How many people's lives have been lost from people being careless, getting behind the wheel after they drink, you know, more than what they should have? So those are the things you have to think about. Now let's talk about some of the symptoms of alcoholism. It says being unable to limit the amount of alcohol you drink, feel a strong need or compulsion to drink, develop tolerance to alcohol that you can need more to feel its effect. So like sometimes we drink so much, it's like drinking soda. You drink so much soda, you don't realize the effect soda has on your body. The sugar and all the acid, how it tears up your teeth, you don't see that as long as you can have it. You know, I've known people to drink, those big gulps, one behind the other. I just couldn't understand how they can do it. But they have, and it's amazing. How they've been able to do that. feel strong need or compulsion to drink. Develop tolerance. Okay, drink alone or hide your drinking. I wrote a story about a young Indian girl who you know, as they say, Indians, American Indians, Native Americans have a habit of drinking a lot. Well, she was drinking, and her mom didn't know she was drinking. Her mom found out at the last minute that the young girl had been drinking all this time, but she had got it because it was inherited into the family. Alcoholism can be hereditary. And it wasn't from her mother. It was from her father's side of the family. So all of that has a lot to do with, you know, you sneaking and drinking, having a bottle in the car, keeping a flask in your purse, you know, do a little nip at work, you know, on your lunch break. Well, I'm on my lunch break, but it affects you when you come back to work. Experience physical withdrawal symptoms such as nausea, sweating, and shaking when you don't drink. Yeah. Not remember conversational commitments, sometimes referred to as blackouts. Drink to the point where you have blackouts. Do I know people who have done that? Probably do. Can't remember them right off the bat, but if they were drinkers, they probably did. Make ritual of having drinks at certain times and become annoyed when this ritual is disturbed or questioned. Exactly. You know, you go for your lunch. Well, we're going to not do lunch today, you guys. We have to catch up on this deadline. And you go berserk. I have to have lunch. You're going off at work because you didn't have that time to get that nip in. Be irritable when your usual drinking times nears, especially alcohol, especially if alcohol isn't available. You know, you do a nip about 3 just before you go home from work. Say you get off at 4, maybe even 5, and that 3 is your break time. Now, on that 15-minute break that you take, you get a little nip. Maybe you had to work over and you didn't get a chance to get that break in. You'd have to take it at a later time, but your body is so used to that alcohol being in it at 3, no later than 3:05, then, you know, it does mess up your mood. keep alcohol in unlikely places at home, at work, and in your car. We're talking about that, like the flask in your purse, one in the glove compartment, one in the secret compartment at your desk at work. gulp drinks, order doubles, or become drunk intentionally to feel good or drink to feel normal. Yeah. Those are all things that you have to worry about. It says, have legal problems or problems with relationships, employment, or finances due to drinking. You're spending all your money for bills at the liquor store. You're fighting with your spouse. You're fighting with public people out in the public. You can't go out and just have a nice, peaceful drink because you're out fighting and being belligerent. You get arrested, DWIs. Lost interest in activity and hobby that used to bring you pleasure. All of that is rolled up in the symptoms and signs of alcoholism. If you binge drink or have other problems with alcohol, you may have many, many signs and symptoms above. Although you may not feel as much of a compulsion to drink compared to someone who has alcoholism. Also, you may not have physical withdrawal symptoms when you don't drink, but this pattern of drinking can still cause serious problems and lead to alcoholism. As with alcoholism, you may not be able to quit problem drinking without help. Now, let's talk about the consideration of what is one drink. One standard drink is 12 ounces of regular beer, and that has about 5% alcohol, 8 to 9 ounces of malt liquor, 5 ounces of wine, 1.5 ounces of 80-proof hard liquor. All of those are considered one drink. And the question is, what about my drinking? If you've ever wondered whether your drink crosses the line into problem drinking or alcoholism, ask yourself these questions. If you're a man, do you ever have 5 or more drinks in a day? If you're a woman, do you ever have 4 or more drinks in a day? Do you ever need a drink to get you started in the morning? Do you feel guilty about your drinking? Do you think you need to cut back or how much you drink? Are you annoyed when other people comment on and criticize your drinking habits? I've met people like that who get upset and say, I'm not drinking that much. Mind your own business. Wow. Okay. If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have a problem with alcohol. Wow. Then we talk about when to see a doctor. If you feel that you sometimes drink too much or your family is concerned about your drinking, talk with a doctor. See your doctor even if you don't think you have alcoholism, but you're concerned about your drinking or it's causing problems in your life. Other ways to get help include talking with a mental health provider or seeking help from a support group such as Alcohol Anonymous. Because denial is common, you may not feel like you have a problem with drinking or that you need to help to stop. You might not recognize how much you drink or how many problems in your life are related to your alcohol use. Listen to your family members, friends, or coworkers when they ask you to examine your drinking habits to seek help so that you can seek help. Let's talk about causes. But before we talk about causes, I want to take a break. And we're going to I'm sorry, you guys. My mind just went blank. Let's see.
Fabulous by Design Bath and Body Products has something for everyone. Did you know that oatmeal soap is a great skin barrier? It exfoliates, it has pH balance, prevents itching, and moisturizes. This is just one of the wonderful products Fabulous by Design offers. For more information, visit our website, Fat and Fabulous by Design, LLC.biz. That's PhatandPhabulous by Design, LLC.biz. This is another proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... ...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, let's get some music in here real quick here. Let's see.
Sugar! wanna do me? Do you wanna be with me? Come on, baby, let's get married. Hey, what you wanna do to me? Do you wanna be with me? Come on, baby.
Guys, that was a little Maxwell from last week. I will apologize. I forgot to upload all my new music for today. So just bear with me on that. In the meantime, let's get back to talking about alcoholism. And we talked about the definition of alcoholism. We talked about symptoms. We talked about different ways you can tell. People who have characteristics of alcoholic. Now let's talk about the causes of alcoholism, which I think can come in many different forms. wow. I'm trying to figure out if I could have been an alcoholic. I don't know if it could have been in my blood to be an alcoholic. Not to say that I didn't drink. I did drink. I drank a lot when I went into the military. But I don't think I drank to the point where it made a big difference in how I functioned. And I only drank at nighttime. I didn't drink during the daytime. I only drunk on the weekends. So I knew I had to get up and do a full day's work. So I knew not to drink any other time. Let's see. Let's see here. Okay. Okay, let's talk about the causes of alcoholism. Alcoholism is influenced by genetic, psychological, and social environmental factors that have an impact on how it affects your body and behavior. The process of becoming addicted to alcohol occurs gradually. Although some people have an abnormal response to alcohol from the time they start drinking, over time, drinking too much may change the normal balance of chemicals and nerve tracts in your brain associated with the experience of pleasure, judgment, and the ability to exercise control over your behavior. This may result in your craving alcohol to restore good feelings or remove negative ones. So there's many reasons why people decide to be alcoholics or to take on the ideal of wanting to drink all the time is to take away the pain, to take away the reality, when in reality that's not true. Because once you become sober and that hangover kicks in, whatever you're going through is going to be still there. So I don't think it's really a major thing to do it. So let's talk about some risk factors that can take place when drinking. Alcohol. It's just amazing when you think about the things that can happen to us when we drink. Okay, some of the risk factors of alcoholism include steady drinking over time, drinking too much on a regular basis for an extended period of binge drinking on a regular basis can produce a physical dependence on alcohol. Your age. People who begin drinking at an early age are at a higher risk of problems drinking or physical dependence on alcohol. A family history. The risk of alcoholism is higher for people who have a parent or other close relatives who have problems with alcohol, which I told you, or I kind of explained to you, in Indians, they have babies who are come out alcoholics automatically because the parents drink. Something to think about. Depression and other mental health problems. It's common for people with a mental health disorder such as anxiety, depression, or bipolar disorder to have problems with alcohol and other substances. So it's not just alcohol when you're dealing with a lot of mental problems. You also have regular drugs, you have prescription drugs, you have illegal drugs that become problems also. Social and cultural factors. Having friends or a close partner who drinks regularly could increase your risk of alcoholism. The glamorous way that drinking is sometimes portrayed in the media also may send a message that it's okay to drink too much. Yes, that is so true. Seems like everywhere you go, when you go out, you drink. You know, any social, what they call social drinking, can turn into something different. It says mixing medication and alcohol, which I can guarantee you there's a lot of people who do that. Some medications interact with alcohol, increasing its toxic effects. Drinking while taking these medications can either increase or decrease their effectiveness or even make them dangerous. And there's been people who have overdosed on drinking and taking their medication, which I would never mix. And I know with the medications that I take, there's no way that I would do something as stupid as drinking alcohol with my medication. I know, like, on a lot of movies and stuff, they show people doing that. But some people, you know, when they're at that point in their life where, you know, no matter what you say to them, they're going to do whatever they want, this is what happens. Let's talk about the complications of alcohol. This is something we don't look into. We know that there is a problem with it, and we know that there has to be some reason, and we need to constantly remind people who drink what can happen to them if they don't stop drinking. And then sometimes people, you just can't get through to them. It's not that you want to wipe your hands of them. It's just that you're at a point where you can't do anything. You know, you think about children. You think about husbands. You think about wives. You know, mothers, fathers, you know, trying to deal with their children and their adult children with the drinking problems. And as you know, drinking is considered a disease. So, I mean, you see people losing their homes behind drinking, their cars, their families. So is it really important? Is it that important that you need that drink? Alcohol depresses your central nervous system. In some people, the initial reaction may be stimulation. But as you continue to drink, you become sedated. Alcohol lowers your inhibitions and affects your thoughts, emotions, and judgment. So you become almost like euphoric, you know, you lethargic. You know, you're like drowning and, you know, you no longer can. I know with me, with alcohol, let me start. With me, I get a good sleep out of it, especially if I had something, you know, go on that really, I know that problem is not gone anywhere, but if I get a good drink, it's like a sedative. relaxes everything. You get some good deep sleep. You wake up, you're good to go after your hangover. But I can truly say I haven't had a lot of hangovers, or if I have, I didn't recognize them. Too much alcohol affects your speech, muscle coordination, and vital centers of your brain. A heavy drinking binge may even cause a life-threatening coma or death. Yes, you can die by alcoholism, overdose of alcoholism. If you have problems with alcohol, you're more likely to also have problems with other substances. Excessive drinking can reduce your judgment skills and lower inhibitions, leading to poor choices in dangerous situations or behaviors, such as the following: motor vehicle accidents and other types of accidents, which we talked about, domestic problems, fighting, violence, poor performance at work or school, okay, you're fired, increased likelihood of committing violent crimes, health problems caused by excessive drinking can include, number one thing is liver disease. Heavy drinking can cause alcoholic hepatitis and inflammation of the liver. After years of heavy drinking, hepatitis may lead to irreversible destruction and scarring of the liver tissue, cirrhosis, which we call cirrhosis of the liver. You can start having digestive problems. Heavy drinking can result in inflammation of the stomach lining, gastritis, as well as stomach and esophageal ulcers. It also can interfere with absorption of B vitamins and other nutrients. Heavy drinking can damage your pancreas, which produces hormones that regulate your metabolism and enzymes that help digestion and lead inflammation of the pancreas. This also leads to your pancreas swelling up. Heart problems. Excessive drinking can lead to high blood pressure and increase your risk of an enlarged heart and heart failure or stroke. Diabetes complication. Alcohol interferes with the release of glucose from your liver and can increase the risk of low blood sugar, hypoglycemia. This is dangerous if you have diabetes and are already taking insulin to lower your blood sugar level. Sexual function and menstruation. Excessive drinking can cause erectile dysfunction in men, and in women it can interrupt their menstruation. Wow, I didn't know that. Eye problems. Over time, heavy drinking causes involuntary rapid eye movement, as well as weakness and paralysis of your eye muscles due to a deficiency in vitamin B1, thiamine. Birth defects. Alcohol using during pregnancy may cause fetal alcohol syndrome. That's what I was talking about earlier, and I didn't know the name of it. It's called fetal alcohol syndrome, resulting in giving birth to a child who has physical and developmental problems that last a lifetime. Bone loss. Alcohol may interfere with the production of new bone. This can lead to thinning bones, osteoporosis, and an increase of risk of fractures. Your neurological complications. Excessive drinking can affect the nervous system, cause numbness and pain in your hands and feet, disordered thinking, dementia, and short-term memory loss. Man, that is deep. Wow. It can weaken your immune system. Alcohol use can make it harder for your body to resist disease, making you more susceptible to illnesses. Increased risk of cancer. Long-term excessive alcohol use has been linked to a higher risk of many cancers, including mouth, throat, liver, colon, breast cancer. Even moderate drinking can increase the risk of breast cancer. These type of I realize they change all the time, and it just amazes me. Alcohol use leads to serious consequences for many teens and young adults in the age group. Alcohol-related motor vehicle accidents, are a major cause of deaths. Alcohol is often a cause in other deaths, including drowning, suicides, and homicides. Drinking makes it more likely they'll become sexually active and have sex with more frequently, engage in risky, unprotected sex, and become victims of sexual abuse or date rape compared with those who don't drink. Alcohol use can lead to accidental injury, assault, and probably property damage. Now, once you've decided that it's time for you to make a change in your life, you have to prepare yourself for your first appointment and seeing somebody that can help change how you feel about yourself when it comes to alcoholism. Okay, you're likely to start by seeing your primary care doctor or general practitioner because your appointment can be brief. It's a good idea to be well prepared. Here's some information to help you get ready and what to expect from your doctor. First things first, consider your drinking habits. Take an honest look at how often and how much you drink. Be prepared to discuss any problems that alcohol may be causing. Write down the symptoms you've had, including any that may seem unrelated to your drinking. Write down key personal information, including any major stress or recent life changes. Make a list of all medications, vitamins, or supplements that you're taking. Take a family member or friend along, if possible, to help you remember everything. Write down questions you want to ask your doctor. When you prepare a list of questions ahead of time, from most important to least important, to make the most of your time for excessive drinking or alcoholism, basic questions for you to ask your doctor include the following. Do you think I drink too much or show signs of problems drinking or dependence? Do you think alcohol could be causing or worsening my other health problems? Do you think I need to cut back or quit drinking? These are the questions that you would ask your doctor if your doctor's starting to, once you start going to your regular appointments, your regular appointments, and they start knowing, you think they notice a difference in how you're reacting and how you show up at your appointments, and these are the questions you ask them and see what they say. So you'll know which direction you need to go to, What is the best course of action? Do I need any medical tests for underlying physical problems? What are the alternative approaches that you're suggesting? Are there any brochures or other printed materials that I can take home with me? What websites do you recommend? Would it be helpful for me to meet with a professional experienced in alcohol treatment? And don't hesitate to ask questions during your appointment at any time that you don't understand something. Always ask questions. That's even at any regular appointment you have with your doctor, so that you don't go home confused or miss something in the process, that when you do ask, it's too late, or you have to call him, an emergency happens, and you're in a position where he can't get to you at the time. You're going to have to go to the emergency room, spend more money, and those are the things you have to think about when you don't ask your doctor or everything. And it's sometimes hard because I forget what I want to ask my doctor when I go, if I don't write it down. Or miswriting it down didn't come in, you know, it wasn't part of what was in your head in the first place. Those things can happen. Now, the question that your doctor is supposed to ask you is very important, too. How often do you drink? How much do you drink? Do you have any family members with alcohol problems? Do you sometimes drink more than you intend to drink? Have family members, friends, or coworkers ever suggested you need to cut back or quit drinking? These questions are sort of like the questions that they ask me when I go to my appointments. They ask me, do I drink socially or do I smoke? And I have to tell them, no, I don't. Do I drink every now and then? Maybe once in a blue moon. Now that I'm older, drinking is just not something I just do on a regular basis. I just don't. I mean, I didn't do it back then. It's just something, either I forget that I can drink or I don't know, just nothing I really get interested in. Do you feel like you need to drink more than you previously did to get some same effects? Have you tried to stop drinking? If so, what is difficult, and did you have any withdrawal symptoms when you did try to stop? Have you had legal problems or problems at school, at work, or in your relationship that may be related to alcohol use? Have there been times that you have behaved in a dangerous, harmful, or violent way when you've been drinking? And I've seen people do it. Do you have any physical health problems such as liver disease or diabetes? Do you have any mental health issues such as depression, anxiety? And as you know, a lot of times that all can have a lot to do with you trying to drink away your problems, thinking it's going to make it better when in reality it doesn't. And do you use any illegal drugs? Yes or no? I mean, these are yes or no questions. How often? Yes. Do I? 5 drinks a day, 4 drinks a day, 2 in the morning, and 3 at night. I don't know. Those are kind of questions that they need to ask you. Now, We want to know if there are any tests or and your diagnosis of alcohol problems, alcoholism. A doctor suspects you have an alcohol problem will ask you several questions regarding drinking habits and may have you fill out a questionnaire. The doctor may ask for permission to speak with family members or friends. Family members may also contact the doctor on their own to discuss their concerns. However, confidentiality laws prevent your doctor from giving out any information about you without your consent. So you can, excuse me, say your husband thinks that you're drinking too much. And if he's a family friend, as the doctor that is, most of the time he's not going to go in depth, but he's going to tell you enough to know that, you know, maybe you need to sit down and talk to her about the drinking she's doing, or have her come see me. If you think that she's not, you know, that she's doing more than what she should, or she's drinking a little bit more, have her make an appointment to see me. You know, those are the kind of things that he can do. There's no specific test to diagnose alcoholism, but you may need other tests for health problems that may be linked to the alcohol use. To be diagnosed with alcoholism, you must meet criteria spelled out in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the Mental Disorders, DSM, published by the American Psychiatric Association. These include a pattern of alcohol use leading to serious problems as indicated by three or more of the following at any time during 1 to 12 month period. Okay, do you have a tolerance level indicated by an increase in the amount of alcohol you need to feel drunk, intoxicated as the alcoholism progresses, the amount leading to intoxication also decrease as a result of damage to your liver or central nervous system? I know I've seen people who have the shakes. I know people who, no matter how many times they take a shower, take a bath, put cologne, perfume on, they still smell like alcohol because the alcohol now is in their skin. And it takes over their normal hormone smell or their normal chemical chemistry. Now the chemistry is actually alcohol. Withdrawal symptoms. When you cut down or stop using alcohol, these can include tremors, insomnia, nausea, and anxiety. You may drink more alcohol in order to avoid those symptoms, sometimes drinking throughout the day. Yes, you start to do things that you don't normally do. Drinking more alcohol than you intended or drinking over a longer period of time than you intended, having an ongoing desire to cut down in how much you drink or making unsuccessful attempts to do so, trying to do it on your own. They don't like you trying to do it on your own, which I know a lot of people have successfully have been able to stop these terrible habits by themselves on their own, but they really rather for you to get care from a doctor. Spending a good time of deal time drinking, getting alcohol, recovering from alcohol use, giving up important activities, including social, occupational, recreational activities. You know, sometimes we want to drink with people, and then sometimes we'd rather drink alone at the house when we're down and out and depressed. I don't know if it makes it any better to drink that way or being out in the public. If you can't control your drinking, drinking shouldn't be something you do anyway. Continuing to use alcohol, even though you know it's causing physical and psychological problems, you continue to use it. Those are the things that you have to worry about when you're making a decision to continue to drink. As you know, there are treatments, and if you think about drugs, I don't know if you've already got issues with taking medications and making things habitual, habit-forming in your life, why would you want to take a drug that's supposed to, quote-unquote, help you with the alcoholism? We'll see. Many people with alcoholism hesitate to get treatment because they don't recognize they have a problem. It says an intervention from loved ones can help some people recognize and accept that they need professional help. If you're concerned about a friend or family member who drinks too much, talk to a professional for advice on how to approach that person. Now, let's see here. As you can see, I can't turn my phone off. It's ringing in the midst of me doing my show right now. I apologize for that, you guys. Really, I
hello. Please leave a message after the tone. Hey, Malika, this is Jim Cole. Give me a call, please.
I apologize, you guys, for that. Really, I do. That was definitely a business call. Please accept my apology for that. We're going to take a break and we'll be back.
See the person I love the most disappear and be replaced by someone different.
Sorry for the hesitation. I was looking for something. Excuse me.
Goat milk soap is wonderful for people with dry or sensitive skin or conditions such as eczema and psoriasis. Goat milk contains alpha hydroxy acids such as lactic acid, which helps remove dead skin cells from your skin surface. This leaves loose cells on the surface of your skin smoother and younger looking. Water-based soaps may use harsh chemical acids to accomplish this, frequently with skin damaging results. You can order a bar or two from Fat and Fabulous by Design LLC.biz, a proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one...
In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn... is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
The sooner you get, the sooner you get the
The song, but actually it was actually a video. I thought I was going to hear more to the video of a drinking and driving. This young man was driving his car. He played soccer, I think, and he wound up drinking with his buddies, and he was on his way home, I guess, and he went off the road, and these two kids were playing soccer, and it, the car rolled over into the playground or in their backyard or something and wound up killing one of the kids. And the guy didn't even realize what had happened. He was out of it. That's why it's so important not to drink and drive. I was hoping I would see more with that video, but as you know, that just happens. I should have done it better. Okay. We were talking about many people with alcoholism hesitate to get treatment because they don't recognize that they have a problem. An intervention from loved ones can help some people recognize and accept that they need professional help. If you're concerned about a friend or family member who drinks too much, talk to a professional for advice on how to approach that person. Excuse me. Various treatments may help. Depending on the circumstances, treatment may involve a brief intervention, individuals or group counseling, an inpatient outpatient program, or a residential inpatient stay, which we have available. It says the first thing you need to do is determine if you have a problem with alcohol. If you haven't lost control over your use of alcohol, treatment may involve reducing your drinking. If you have become addicted, simply cutting back is ineffective. Working to stop the use of alcohol to improve quality of life is the main treatment goal. Treatment for alcoholism may include detoxification and withdrawal. Treatment for alcohol may begin with a program of detoxification, which generally takes 2 to 7 days. You may need to take sedating medications to prevent shaking, confusion, or even hallucinations. Withdrawal symptoms, detoxification is usually done at an inpatient treatment center or hospital. Learning skills and establishing a treatment plan. This usually involves alcohol treatment specialists. It may include goal setting, behavior change techniques, use of self-help manuals, counseling, and follow-up care at a treatment center. Psychological counseling. Counseling and therapy for groups and individuals help you better understand your problem with alcohol and support recovery from the psychological aspects of alcoholism. You may benefit from couples or family therapy. Family support can be an important part of the recovery process. Oral medications. Okay. We already talked about sedating you. Oral medications, a drug called desulfiram, which is an antabuse, may help to prevent you from drinking. Although it won't cure alcoholism or remove the compulsion to drink, if you drink alcohol, the drug produces a physical reaction that may include flushing, nausea, vomiting, and headaches. It says Rivia, a drug that blocks the good feelings alcohol causes, may prevent heavy drinking and reduce the urge to drink. Camprel may help you combat alcohol cravings. Unlike desulfiram and naltrexone, this medication don't make you feel sick after taking a drink. Injected medications. There's a medication called Vivitrol, a version of a drug, noxetarine, is injected once a month by a healthcare professional. Although similar medication can be taken in pill form, the injectable version of the drug may be easier for people recovering from alcohol dependence use consistently. I don't know about these medications. I'm not saying that they work. I don't have the problem with alcoholism, but I don't know if I would want all these. I'm thinking that was 4 different medications they were just talking about, but okay. Continuing support. Aftercare programs and support groups help people recovering from problem drinking or alcoholism to stop drinking, managing, relapsing, and cope with necessary lifestyle changes. This may include medical or psychological care or attending a support group such as Alcohol Anonymous. Treatments for psychological problems. Alcoholism commonly occurs along with other mental health disorders. You may need talk therapy, medications, or other treatment for depression, anxiety, or another mental health condition if you have any of these conditions. See, that's where I have issues with this. We treat these diseases with medications that can trigger the other medications you're already taking for if you have depression. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of confusing to a certain extent. It says medical treatment for other conditions. Common medical Problems related to alcoholism include high blood pressure, high blood sugar, liver disease, and heart disease. Many alcohol-related health problems improve significantly once you stop drinking. But you got to stop drinking. And I've known people to die of alcoholism also because of how it affected the pancreas, how it affected the kidneys, the liver. If you're a diabetic, how it affects that. You won't stop drinking, you lose legs, you lose arms, you lose toes, fingers, the whole nine yards because of this. People who are involved with some type of regular spiritual practice may find it easier to maintain recovery from alcoholism or other addictions. For many people, gaining greater insight into the spiritual side is a key element in the recovery, and there's nothing wrong with that. Residential treatment programs. For a serious alcohol problem, you may need to stay at a residential treatment facility. Many residential treatment programs include individual and group therapy, participation in alcoholism support groups such as Alcohol Anonymous, which we mentioned earlier, educational lectures, family involvement, activity therapy, and working with counselors, professional staff, and doctors experienced in treating alcoholism. Wow. Let's talk about your lifestyle and home remedies that can help with this problem. Coping with problem drinking or alcoholism requires that you change your habits and make different lifestyle choices. Consider your social situation. Make it clear to your friends and family that you're not drinking. You may need to distance yourself from friends and social situations that impair your recovery. Yes. Man, let's go out to the bar. No, I can't go. I've got something to do. I'm going to stay here with the family tonight. Man, when you change out, you're becoming a softy. No, I have to realize that this drinking is not helping me. Develop healthy habits. For example, good sleep, regular physical activity, and eating well can make it easier for you to recover from alcoholism. Last but not least, do things that don't involve alcohol. You may find that many of your activities involve drinking. Replace them with hobbies or pastimes that are not centered around alcohol. So those are the information about alcoholism, the treatment, lifestyle changes, the symptoms, the causes, the definition of alcoholism. So keep that in mind that you take time out and change the way, if this is what you're doing on a daily basis, please look into getting some help. Please listen to your family member. If you have a family member that's telling you, you're drinking a little bit too much, listen to them. Don't get angry with them. Don't want to fight them. It doesn't do anything but make it worse for you. Don't get behind the wheel and drive while you're drinking. It's not worth it. I mean, if you have issues with how you see your life, then maybe you need to look at things. Maybe you need to get some help. If you're not happy with your life, maybe you need to change your lifestyle. You know, I know situations happen where you lose your job, bad, negative things happen in your life, and you don't know how to cope with it. You find some good coping skills. They're out there. Everything is right at your fingers, and you have to learn how to deal with it from that end, being able to talk with the right people, deal with the right situations. You have to learn how to do that. And I know a lot of people, you're saying, easier said than done because I don't have that problem. But there's too much help out there, and there's too many people who want to help you and support you in those endeavors to get help. So I think you should take advantage of it. I mean, I just do. Before we go into our next conversation, which is the Entrepreneur's Corner, which is how to become a real estate agent, let's give you some music. Get a little music in your system. And again, I want to say I apologize for the same music. I tried to get it in time. I didn't, but that's all right. Let's see.
Gotta get off, gone. Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Last night we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but there were only 4 people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their 4 faces? All 8 of their eyes lit up brighter than ours. And we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, that one girl, she looked like she'd never seen glow in the dark like this before, and we invented glow in the dark.
Yeah, we invented it.
And we're going to be out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you.
Woohoo!
So come check us out.
Check us out.
And bring your kid, all ages show. Oh, but don't bring any of those glass jars, because they make us kind of nervous.
Yeah, and I'm super claustrophobic.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. And discover other cool things to do when you go, like fishing, biking, or even camping. Visit discovertheforest.org.
See you later!
Yeah, see you soon!
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do-do-do-do-do.
right, you guys, we are back with more Red Journal Radio Show with your host, Alita, and we're almost winding down. We're already on the second half of the show. And as you know, on the second half of the show, we go to the Entrepreneur's Corner. And today we're going to talk about how to become a real estate agent. I think it's a very interesting job. It's a very challenging, it's a very competitive job, and it's a dog-eat-dog world out there when it comes to real estate. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over some steps, and then we're going to also talk about the different ways that you can become, and if you want to just be a real estate agent, that's fine. If you want to go to the real estate broker, there's another part that you have to take to do that. Okay, and this is according to Investopedia.com, and it says 6 steps to becoming a real estate agent. It says becoming a successful real estate agent is a combination of investing in time, education, research, a broker who can help you get your first clients, and passing the state and national licensing exam. But that's not all there is to the industry. You're going to find out there's more, and you have to be careful not to overlook some of the aspects of real estate business. It's not an easy business. Okay, the first thing we have to do is get educated. No matter, in which state you live, you must take a pre-licensing course. However, state requirements differ greatly. For instance, California requires 3 college-level courses. Others, such as Idaho, which requires 2 courses totaling 90 hours, required set number of hours of education. Contact your state's real estate commission for your state's requirement for licensing. It has changed out a lot. I know for sure it's changed here ever since the mortgage crisis happened. And was that in 2008, 2009? Ever since that happened, the laws have changed. There was a time when, as a real estate agent, you would be under a real estate broker or agency for, I think it was 3 years, now it's 4 years. So things have changed a lot. Okay, it says some real estate agencies have specific education requirements, thus you may have to take an additional course after being hired with the agency. So that's something you have to think about. It says, number 2 says choose a brokerage. You have to choose a brokerage agency you're going to work with. A real estate brokerage is the agency or office from which real estate agents and brokers work. Since working with a broker is a requirement in order to practice as a real estate agent, you will need to contact the broker before graduating from your training course. Brokers have at least 3 years additional real estate training and can guide you through questions you have when it comes to working in the field, as well as listing and selling homes. When you look for a broker, think about size of brokerage, its reputation, and additional training offered. Check broker reputation by reading online comments, asking friends and neighbors who they've had experience with, and getting advice from your instructor on choosing a brokerage. Another way to learn more about the brokerage is by carefully crafting your interview questions. This will not only help you gather information, but solid interview questions help the broker determine if you'll fit well into the agency if you choose to stay with them. Okay, let's think about some of the questions that we could ask. Does your brokerage require additional coursework? How many years of experience do you have? Is there someone within the brokerage I can work with a majority of the time while learning? What is your client contact style for developing leads? How long does it take on average to earn commission checks? Those are questions that you would break, sit down with the brokerage and ask. I think would be great questions. Okay, it says which answers are accepted was up to you. For instance, one person may prefer a brokerage that does ask for additional coursework because of a desire for more training before jumping in, while another may appreciate having someone who will work with them every day while learning. That's true. So you're looking at it from 2 different ways. Okay, it says getting licensed, which we know this is a very important part of it. I know after doing the training, taking the pre-licensing training courses, then you should prepare yourself for the test. And what makes it much better is they have online training courses now that you can take. You don't have to sit in the classroom. You don't have to spend a lot of money now to actually get all the training you need. The money comes in is when you have to join the real estate association, paying for your licenses, all that stuff is where the money rolls in at, where you're starting to spend a lot of money, and keeping up with your license on an annual basis and taking your post-licensing classes. It says real estate license requires the passing of the state and national exams. In addition, you may have to provide a criminal background check. Between exam and license fees for a real estate salesperson, you can expect to pay at least $200. Thought prices vary from state to state, though prices vary from state to state, which we know that. Number four says develop a real estate agent budget. While becoming a real estate agent isn't cheap, it's cheaper than entering many professions. Startup fees estimated between $1,500 to $2,000, which should be divided between license courses, business card signs, advertising, and association fees, not counting additional exam fees. Exactly. Since real estate is commission-based business, you'll also need enough money set aside for you to get by for a few months. These are approximations of actual costs, because they can vary based on individual choices and state-by-state costs. Okay, so you have to look at it from your state, whatever state you live in, what is required of you. Make the realtor or real estate agent decision. In order to utilize the title realtor, you must join the National Association of Realtors. This is done by choosing affiliated brokerage as well as attending a set number of meetings designated by your local chapter. Good, I guess, to join. I don't know because I didn't join one and I didn't get that far. Build your client referral portfolio. The best way to build your portfolio is twofold. Get a mentor and use your personal network. Barbara Kennan, the Vice President of the National Association of Realtors, says the best arrangement for a new agent is to find a mentor in the real estate agency you choose who guides you toward the buyer-seller contacts and split commission. You'll learn the profession from your mentor while gaining your first commission checks. Also, asking for friends and family for referrals of people who are considering buying or selling homes, a great way to begin networking. Someone's always looking for a new home, and the referral may get you started in your new business. Becoming a real estate agent is similar to starting a small business, even though you work within a brokerage of established realtors or real estate agents. You need a startup fund for business expenses, and to cover several months of personal expenses while you build your client base. Take every step seriously, and you'll have your first sold sign up with your savings account still intact. It's another way to get out of debt. Start making money. Once you get out of debt, get a mortgage. That's not what I should have been reading there. That's the conclusion. Okay, that was from Investopedia that tells us 6 steps in becoming a real estate agent, which they did a broad overall sense of that. Let's see here. Let's talk about how to become a real estate agent. And this is by Kaplan'sRealEstateAgent.org, if I'm not mistaken. .com. And they're basically telling you how to become a real estate agent. It says, deciding to become a real estate agent is a major move in anyone's career journey. People enter the field of real estate from various occupations and careers and at various stages of their lives. Everyone has different reasons why they think real estate is the correct career choice for them. But one question consistently comes from people looking to enter to the real estate industry. How do I become a real estate agent? Simple answer is it depends. It mostly depends on where an individual wants to practice real estate. Becoming a real estate agent requires a state license. Each state regulates their own real estate license process, and each state's regulations or rules are slightly different, but there are a few basic requirements that are always consistent. Let's talk about the general requirements to qualify to become a real estate agent or salesperson. You must be at least 18 or 19 years of age, have legal U.S. residency, complete your required pre-licensed education, number of hours required depends on which state you live in, pass your state real estate license examination. These items represent the high-level checklist, of what it takes to become a licensed real estate agent, but there are a lot of decisions you need to make along the way that will dictate whether your journey is successful or not. Is real estate right for you? The first step in this process is making sure the real estate is right for you. As a real estate salesperson, each day is spent working for you. This means handling your own office management, paperwork, prospecting leads, developing relationships, managing contacts, and then dealing with buyers and sellers. Reach out to local real estate agents and brokers and ask them questions about what the day-to-day work is like. Ask questions about real estate as a long-term career. Starting a full-time career as a real estate agent can't be treated like a hobby. It requires a full commitment. Make sure your real estate is right for you, the right path for you. Something to think about when making that decision on whether or not you want to take the career path of being a real estate salesperson or agent, or once you join the association or realtor. Okay, understanding your state's real estate license requirements. Each state's real estate license requirements are different. Your state real estate commission website will list the official pre-licensing requirements. Enroll in a real estate pre-licensing course. There are a variety of ways you can choose to complete your real estate pre-licensing education requirements, from live classroom locations at local real estate schools. Some realty firms, university and technical schools offer a real estate license program. You can do a home study and online real estate education. This is an important decision in your journey. Make sure you enroll in with a school that has a good reputation, offers quality content and instructors, and is focused on the positive student outcome. Your real estate license education will be difficult and comprehensive, but it will also be springboard to a successful career as a real estate agent. Wow. Professional. Apply to take real estate salesperson's exams. Timing is important at this step. Make sure you are following the application process with your state so that you can sit for your real estate agent exam soon after you finish your real estate licensing classes. This process will be a state-specific and include a fee. Check with your state real estate regulatory authority for complete details. Some states require you submit fingerprints as pass a background check. This can be done. This can take 2 weeks to process. In many states, the application process may be complete before you can register or schedule your exam date. Don't let paperwork become a roadblock to getting your started in the real estate career. Make sure you have everything in order, paperwork, the whole nine yards. Everything needs to be in the way that once you take your exam, all you have to sit back and wait for is a result. Seeing in which right then and there you can, when you take the test right then and there, it'll tell you whether or not you passed. It says, pass a real estate exam, salesperson exam. Passing real estate exam takes more than finishing the education requirements. It takes preparation. Not everyone passes exam the first time. Preparing yourself to pass the state exam takes additional study time. It says, show up to the exam location with positive attitude, answer the questions using your massive knowledge base, you're accumulating your studies, and walk out with a passing grade on your state real estate exam. That's what you want to do. It says, you're almost a real estate agent. Upon passing your grade, your test, the state real estate license exam doesn't quite mean you have a license yet. A real estate salesperson is licensed to act on behalf of a broker and may not as a real estate agent independently. Consider finding a real estate broker early in your licensing process. Once you have completed your pre-licensing education requirements and passed your exam, you and your broker will both need to complete a final paperwork with the state. Once the form is accepted, your license will be issued. You may practice real estate under the sponsorship of a broker. Keep in mind that there are a number of items to consider when finding the right real estate brokers. So make sure this is what you want to do. Very good information. Very, very good information. I think you can't ask for more. I really don't see what else you can ask for when making that decision. Now, let's talk about on the state level of what you need for becoming a realtor. Let's see. Then that's when we visit the National Association of Realtors website. Let's see here. This kind of breaks down everything. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm reading something and I'm trying to see. Oh, let's talk about laws, ethics, and policies, federal regulations and compliances that is need. And as you know, that has a lot to do with the FAA purposes. Let's see. Oh, this is not what I wanted. I'm sorry, you guys. Let's go back to education. Now, another big thing which is happening now is commercial real estate. I don't know if you guys are, you know, really familiar with, you can specialize, even though you're a real estate agent, you can specialize in certain different ones. Some people are good residential real estate. Some people are very good with commercial, selling commercial real estate. I think commercial real estate is probably a little bit more complicated on how to do it. You have to be able to be professional in commercial transaction. Commercial real estate, that's office, retail, industrial, and land. How to handle a commercial contract. All of these are very important when you're thinking about doing real estate, commercial real estate. I think that was very interesting. Let's see something here. Oh, let's see what this says. So, pending rise in January to high
level. The National Association of Realtors released their latest pending home sales index figures today. The index is up month to month and year to year. This is in a bit of conflict with the recent closing data we released with existing home sales. Lawrence, is this a good start to the year?
Well, are we off to a good start or a bad start? Closing numbers were disappointing, but today's number on pending, which is an indicator about future closing activity, is showing good positive signs. The latest figure is the highest in a year and a half. So the contract signing, even with the very snowy condition in many parts of the country, this is implying that there is a pent-up demand wanting to come to the market, and it was a convincingly higher figure compared to 1 year before, 8.4% higher this February pending contract versus 1 year ago.
Recently, we've seen several housing indicators that have been up and down, a bit of a roller coaster in terms of the monthly releases. One indicator that has been on an upward trend is home prices. You have mentioned that this current rise in home prices could be unhealthy. Could you expand a bit on this?
The home price at the early phase of recovery, when the prices were rising at double-digit rate of appreciation in many parts of the country, 10%, 15%, in some places, even 30% boost in a 12-month time frame. So the initial price recovery was good because home prices have overcorrected, and it provided an equity recovery for many homeowners. And our sale price increases means that there are fewer underwater homeowners, and furthermore provide boost to the consumers that they are buying an appreciating asset. However, now that we are well past the initial phase of the recovery, the prices should not or cannot consistently rise above people's wages. Wages are rising only at 2%. The broader consumer price index is rising at 1 to 1.5%. But price difference, the latest information is showing 6% price gain and some accelerating trend compared to middle of last year. So we cannot have this mismatch of prices easily outpacing people's income. I know it's early in the year, but Lawrence, could you give us a sense of what you see for 2015 as a whole?
Okay, that was just a little bit of what the different things that goes with being in real estate. I think that was very interesting there. So if you want to become, let's kind of recap, because I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the show early today. One more thing I haven't done before we close it, but we want to recap real quick. We talked about alcoholism and how to cope with an alcoholic, which we basically broke down what alcoholism is, the causes, the effects, the treatment, and how to get people involved and how to get the medical help that you need with alcohol, with the disease alcohol, and knowing that you have it by asking certain questions or have your doctor ask or have a family member ask. Then we talked about how to become a real estate agent, which we broke down. It depends on state-by-state what is required. You have a pre-licensing course you're taking, and you have a post-licensing, and then you have a in-between, but it's an education that you have, continuing education, licensing, whether the decision to become a real estate agent, what do you have to do to get to that point, understand how to pick a brokerage firm that you want to work with and a broker that you want to work with who's willing to share with you. Ask questions that helps you that helps you to be able to choose a good brokerage firm. And like I said, from state to state, it changes how long you have to be up under an agency before you can start your own or before you become a broker yourself. I have a girlfriend that went from real estate to now she's a broker. I haven't talked to her in a while, but I know she was still doing her business with being a broker and still selling homes. So I think it's awesome that she's doing that. Let's talk about our recipe for today, because you know what? We didn't talk about recipes for today. So I think I want to talk about something that we can cook in the slow cooker. What do you think, you guys? Oh, I found something good. Let's see what the ingredients, calories are. Okay. this is funny. They have what you call a slow cooker wings. And this is done in a slow cooker. This is the things that you need for tangy barbecue wings. This takes prep time is 1 hour. It cooks for 3 hours. Wow. And it makes about four dozen. You want 5 pounds of chicken wings, 2.5 cups of ketchup, 2/3 cup of white vinegar, 2/3 of honey, 1/2 cup of molasses, 2 to 3 tablespoons of hot pepper sauce, 1 tablespoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/2 teaspoon to 1 teaspoon of liquid smoke, optional. You can use it or not. We use it, I know, here a lot. Okay, it says preheat the oven to 375. Using a sharp knife, cut through the two wing joints, discard the wing tips. It says arrange remaining wing pieces, 2 greased 15 by 10, 1 inch by 1 inch baking pans. Bake 30 minutes, drain, turn wings. Bake 20 to 25 minutes longer until juices run clear. Meanwhile, in a large saucepan, combine the ketchup, vinegar, honey, molasses, pepper sauce, salt, Worcestershire sauce, onion powder, chili powder. If desired, stir in liquid smoke. Bring to a boil, reduce heat, simmered. Uncover, 30 minutes, stirring occasionally. Drain wings, place 1/3 of chicken in a 5-quart slow cooker, top with 1/3 of sauce. Repeat layers twice. Cook cover, low 3 to 4 hours. Stir before serving. That's a long time to serve. Okay. It says uncooked chicken wing sections may be substitute for whole chicken wings. So don't throw away those other pieces. You just keep them and put them in there. I don't know if I want to cook no food that long. For two pieces per serving is 178 calories, 7 grams of fat, 2 grams of saturated fat, 30 milligrams cholesterol, 450, 8 milligrams of sodium, 19 carb, trace fiber, 10 grams of protein. So that's our recipe today, tangy barbecue wings. Okay. Now, I hate to close the show out early, but I'm going to have to. 18 minutes into the show, I'm going to close the show out. I apologize for that, but I have to tonight. I have to get prepared for tomorrow's show. Hopefully, I can make this more interesting, and I'm hoping you guys are learning a lot from what I'm taking time out to read to you. Wow. I'm reading you guys things. Wow. Okay, but tomorrow I want to talk about being a notary public, I haven't thought about what's going to be in the journal. We can kind of play around with that, but we'll have all that tomorrow. So just be prepared. I want to say again, thank you for listening to Red Journal Radio Show. Listen tomorrow, same time, same back channel. And you stay good, stay out of trouble. Don't drink and drive. Don't drive and drink. I want to say have a happy Tuesday, and don't forget your meditations. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Red Journal Radio Show. Join us again for more news and information that will stimulate your mind, inspire you to step out your comfort zone.